Good afternoon and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. My guest this week, speaking to us from his office in Crawfordsville, is Mayor Todd Barton. Mr. Mayor, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
If you've got a question for Mayor Barton during our next half hour, please call us at 496-1999. You can also send an email to ask@wbaa.org, or you can tweet your questions to @WBAAnews on Twitter. Well, you and I talked a couple months ago about your desire to sort of have the city council maybe loosen the purse strings just a little bit and allow some more spending authority and spending flexibility, since you've got about a 12-month reserve saved up there for the city. I wondered how those negotiations are going. Are you making any headway there?
Well, we're in the final stages of our budget for 2014, and we're making some investment in the future there. And it really is a balancing act because, you know, despite the fact that you have that reserve, you also have some mandates from the state saying that you really need to try to stay within their prescribed growth quotient and some of those issues, your max levy. So we're balancing those out. And I think this, our city council in particular, has bought into the fact that we need to really create a vision for the future and be prepared to work on that. So we've been in a lot of discussion on that, and I think we're moving forward, yes.
What do you think are going to be some of the biggest changes to your budget for the coming year, if you had to forecast that?
Well, the base budget itself looks pretty similar to previous years, but one of the big changes is the fact that we're going to be funding a center for community development, a center for leadership and community development, and that's a joint project with Wabash College, partially being funded by the Lilly Endowment. So we did include some increased funding for that in our budget for next year. Trying to kind of beef up what we're spending on infrastructure a little bit. And then the other particular pieces that will come later, we will probably do outside the budget process, but I'm talking about things like infrastructure work around the new development in the old hospital building and some major projects like that. So we weren't really ready to nail down numbers on those quite yet, so I wanted to wait until we have more specifics, but we certainly will be going back to the council as part of next year's process to let them take a look at those projects as well.
Tell me more about that leadership project with Wabash. What do you hope to be the outcome there?
Well, I think that's going to take our efforts in this community really to the next level. And what we're trying to do, the basis there is to try to change our focus in economic development to really promote entrepreneurism and to really try to grow things that we have here, make them even bigger. We've seen substantial job increases just in growth alone, not necessarily new things coming to the community. So we really want to focus on that. Lilly's insistence is that we try to find a way to keep college graduates in Indiana, and that's certainly a component. So we are putting together or co-locating our economic development folks, these bright young minds from Wabash College and some leadership from the college, and I believe our Chamber of Commerce will be located there. And so all of these growth entities will be in one space where they can really put their minds together and really let things kind of flourish and take off. And I'm confident it will take us to the next level.
One of the things that, of course, is going on there is you're trying to sort of develop your economic development identity, I think, as a lot of cities in this neck of the woods are. And you've got an interesting kind of bifurcation of how that could go, because, of course, you have a liberal arts school right there that's an anchor in your community. At the same time, you have leaders in your community and you have Governor Pence down in the State House saying, one of the things we could be focusing on is more vocational education for our students. So I wonder how you balance those things, because Wabash is not, by and large, putting out factory workers, let's be honest.
They are not.
So what's your sense of what Crawfordsville should try to be? Is it trying to be
absolutely.
The liberal arts, keep the people from adding to the longstanding brain drain, or is it going back to, yes, it's valuable that we teach our kids to work in the factories and work in the fields?
Well, my take on it is that we need to have diversity, and really, if you look at our economic situation in this community, diversity has long been our strength, and we're not tied to one particular industry, one particular level in that process. We kind of have things spread out, and so we've really taken some steps, also to shore up the technical side. So we build a new Ivy Tech campus, and We're really focusing on what employers need as far as technical skills and technical training for those workers who are going to be out there. And then we're also focusing on, you know, these four-year college graduates and these professional occupations. We've really taken a hit in that area, and we have to find a way to get those jobs back in our community and not only get the jobs here but get a situation created with quality of life where those professionals want to, those young professionals especially, want to live in our community. And I'm really pulling out all the stops to try to do that because we know that our population is very stable until about age 22, and then it drops dramatically until the mid-30s. So, you know, those are the young people who are starting families, buying houses, buying automobiles, and so on. So we really need them back here, and we have to have a community in which they want to reside and start their families. I think we're trying a multi-pronged approach. We're not putting all of our eggs in one basket, but if you look, I think nowadays these two areas are blending more and more because the days of a smokestack factory that, you know, you're just turning out parts and not really thinking about anything are pretty much gone. All new industry, has a technical and a very sophisticated side to it. It's very advanced, and you need people who can program computers and do all these things to make those things operate. So there's more of a blending there than what most people realize.
I realize I haven't asked you this before, but what numbers do you have on the numbers of or the percentage of Wabash graduates or indeed Ivy Tech graduates who stay in your community, who you do not lose to the wider workforce, who you can get to hang around and contribute what they've learned back into Crawfordsville?
Right. I don't have specific numbers. You know, like on Wabash College, I'm sure I could reach over there and get that. But we certainly know that it's probably a fairly healthy percentage. You know, I'm going to have to guess to pick out a number, but we certainly know of graduates who do stick around, and we can look around our community and find, you know, some very successful people in our community who came to Wabash and decided to stay here. So, but, you know, that students coming in today are they're different. They're looking for a different experience. They're looking for something different in their life, and you know, you don't have these young men, in our case, coming in saying, you know, I want to get a four-year degree and go work for some major corporation for 20 or 30 years. That's just not out there. They want to engage their minds. They want to solve problems. They want to, you know, develop a business of their own. And we have to create an environment that really nurtures that. And that's really what we're trying to do with this center. So for me, as I look at the Wabash graduates who have gone out and started businesses and done very successful things, I just can't help but imagine if we captured just a few of those in this community and kept them here, we would be much better off.
Governor Daniels, of course, pushed more people to two-year schools like the Ivy Techs of the world when he was in office. Governor Pence has pushed more on vocational and trade education. I wonder if you think the state needs to sort of pick a route and stick with it, especially so that cities like yours, which are trying to kind of balance those things, at least have some sort of direction that is constant.
Well, I think that would help. And you know, if we could get some consistency, we would all, you know, fare much better. And it's really about what the outside world sees. So as, you know, those corporations look at investing in Indiana or in our communities, they want to see some consistency as well. They're not really, you know, interested in investing millions of dollars and then finding out 2 years from now we're going to have a total policy shift and not really interested in their workforce anymore. So consistency would be good.
What do you personally think Crawfordsville maybe needs more of? Do you think you need more people with four-year college educations, be it from Wabash or some other place? Or is it more important right now to take the people who are in high schools in Montgomery County and say, let's determine whether you are someone who's going to thrive at a four-year college or someone like who Governor Pence is focusing on, saying maybe a trade school, maybe a vocation is better for you? Which do you think your city needs to put more emphasis on right now?
Well, I think we really have to put an emphasis on our high school students right now. And I think there's more to that than just the technical skills. And what I'm speaking about is that I consistently hear from employers that, yes, there's a skills gap. You know, we think of the technical skills, and there's a gap that exists. Ivy Tech is helping us bridge that. Several things are helping us bridge that gap. But what's more concerning to me is a gap in what I call the soft skills. Really taking these young people and instilling in them the qualities that they will need to succeed in the workforce. So, and I'm talking basic things like showing up to work on time, being at work when you need to be at work, you know, a commitment, taking these responsibilities seriously, staying away from things that will cause you problems in the workforce, drugs and those kinds of things. We really have to focus in our schools in making sure that the young people understand that if you work hard and you do the right things, you really have a lot of opportunity ahead of you. I had the chance to speak with high school students this week about that very thing. So we know that four-year colleges are not for everyone, and I think we have to, I think we have to accept that as a society. And we need a good mixture, so we need to do a better job of identifying for students really, you know, where their interest lies and where we think they will succeed and really foster their growth in that area, whether that's, you know, the technical side or that's going on to four-year college. We need to really kind of build a support system there to push them through that process and get them there.
So it sounds like you are broadly okay with the direction that Governor Pence has tried to push the state in terms of getting more people into sort of technical careers and into more vocational sort of training right out of high school.
I think that's a good approach, but we need the balance, and we need to support the people going the other direction as well. But you know, there are so many technical jobs out there today that just literally are going unfilled. And when we look around, you know, to try to find young people going out to become an electrician today, or a licensed plumber today, let's say, or going into the IT world, we don't see the numbers, at least in our community, of young people entering those professions that we really need. And so someone needs to learn those trades. And those who do have, I think, a very bright future ahead of them.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. We're talking to Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton on today's program. If you've got a question for the mayor, please give us a call at 765-496-1999, 496-1999. You can also send an email to ask@WBAA.org, or you can tweet your questions to @WBAA News on Twitter. They'll pop up here on my screen, and I'll be happy to give them to the mayor. I wonder, what about you guys had a site selection study kind of done recently by a company out of South Carolina who took an outside look at what they think the city of Crawfordsville might look like to a potential investor. Let's start at the beginning. Tell me what you thought the pluses and the minuses of that report were in terms of what you learned and maybe some things you already knew, I guess.
Sure. That was a great experience, and for me, what I took away was that we've made some significant strides in the last few years as we've changed our approach to economic development. We did very well in some categories. We were prepared. We had the right people at the table. The potential investor felt comfortable with our confidentiality. Part of the infrastructure that we need is in place, so we have good electrical service with very good rates. In this particular site, which was not in the city, but there's sewer available through a sewer district that the county has established. So those things were all good. Rail service was there and so on. So we had a lot of really positives there. The negatives really kind of came down to the fact that this particular site did not have water available. That was a big drawback, but that's something we could overcome. We could put a plan in place to get the water there over a period of time. So then the other drawback was just, and this is a very controversial issue in this county in particular, was there was no planning and zoning in place. So to a potential investor, there was certainly some risk involved and some unknowns involved had they invested their money in that site. What might happen next to them, you know, that kind of thing.
So they were somewhat worried, it sounds like, that the governmental backbone that would allow a site to be developed and allow, likewise, their neighbors to develop sites, they thought that was not quite, the site selection firm thought that was not quite as organized as it could be?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, we don't have that countywide planning and zoning in place, and a lot of people, you know, they don't want it, and if that's really a county issue and not a city, and if that's what they choose, so be it, but they have to understand that coming along with that is the fact that Most of these groups are going to be very hesitant to invest in those types of properties. And really, when you go through that selection process, they're looking for reasons to eliminate you. So if there's something out there that's marginal, you're probably going to get cut from the list.
So does that mean you have already or will soon go to the county and say, we need to fix this?
You know, the city is zoned, and the area 2 miles around the city is zoned and protected. So for me, I look at it and say, well, most areas that are going to get developed already have planning and zoning in place, so I'm not too concerned with it. The only notable exception is what we call the Nucor Corridor along Nucor Road and near the Nucor Steel facility. That would be the only exception. So, you know, it's not something that I'm going to go out and push for. It's like I said, really a county issue, and you just think people have to make a decision. You know, if you don't want that, then that's fine. You just have to realize you're not going to get large-scale development out in that area. It's not going to happen.
Well, but on the other hand, it would stand to reason that if people were going to live near where they work, they are probably going to live in Crawfordsville. I mean, it is by far the biggest municipality in Montgomery County. Yes, mm-hmm. there are small outlying bedroom communities mm-hmm. that surround you, but A, you guys are going to be the center for development, and B, even if there's something that's developed outside the city limits, people are more likely to live in your city and thus
right.
spend money in your city, and there's going to be collateral economic development benefit to the city from people living there and spending money at local businesses. So shouldn't you push for this?
Well, no, not in my mind, because any place that's going to be developed has to have not only planning and zoning, but they have to have the infrastructure in place. And any areas that have the infrastructure to support something larger like this is probably within that 2 mile zone, with that notable exception of the Nucor Corridor. So for me, like I say, I think we have what we need in place here. I would love to see that area out by Nucor, you know, zoned and everything. So it's not something that I have front and center on my radar screen that I need to go out and push for and try to make something happen on the county level. You know, I try to be very aware of that balance between the city and the county, and we're fortunate that we have a great relationship here. City and the county are working very well together. So, you know, if that's where they want to be right now, I don't think it's my place to come out and try to, you know, persuade the county folks otherwise. I think the sentiment in this community is shifting. It is, I mean, that's very visible. So I think if you give that a little time, they'll come around and they'll see that it's probably in their best interest to do something.
Tangential to this site selection firm's opinions, I talked to Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes last week on this program, and it occurs to me, you guys, Frankfort, Kokomo, Greencastle, you are all potentially competing for the same sorts of investment. You're all similar in size, and you have to therefore differentiate yourselves from
Absolutely.
Other Indiana cities that may appear very similar to, especially an outside firm that may not know one city from another, may not have ever had anyone who's ever been to West Central Indiana. So how do you do that? How do you differentiate yourselves from all these other very similar communities to people who are coming in with, you have to assume, base knowledge that is very minimal?
I think, for me, you have to just cover every level of that you can and try to get every advantage that's possible. So, you know, when they look at just the numbers, we have to try to shift those numbers to make them as favorable as possible. You know, and as I always say, we can always, all of us can talk about tax abatements and incentives and all those kind of things. And really nobody is going to distinguish themselves in that area. That's all pretty cut and dry. As long as we're talking within the state of Indiana, it's a level playing field. We're all there. So you have to find ways outside of that. And I guess I just look and say, you know, we need to make sure we have better infrastructure, that we are willing to go that extra step, and that we create an environment that's very welcoming, that they have to know that they can come here and do business and have a partner in local government. And then also, you know, the quality of life thing, I think, is becoming more and more important as well. At the end of the day, people have to want to live in your community, and businesses have to want to be there. So we are spending a lot of time on creating that better quality of life, that environment that really nurtures growth and nurtures those kinds of things. I had the chance also last week, the same day as we had the report from this site selector, to go to Indianapolis and spend some time with probably about the top 15 site selectors from around the country. and they gave a presentation for elected officials. And sadly enough, out of the entire state, there might have been maybe a half a dozen of us there at most. Now, there were a lot of economic development folks, but actual elected officials, there weren't many. But it was fascinating to listen to them describe to us the process they go through in making decisions and the things they look for and really what to do correctly and what can be very incorrect and disastrous for your efforts. So that was very helpful as well. But we just have to find a way to, you know, like I said, like you said, make ourselves stand out above the competition. And that's about creating a community in which they have confidence they can come in and succeed.
You mentioned the idea of having better infrastructure. That's something that Mayor McBarnes and I talked about last week. He said, look, in Frankfort here, we own our own utilities. We own the communications utility and some of the, you know, water and electricity and all those other things. And so we can offer competitive rates in the city of Frankfort that other people may not be able to because we have control over all of these things. What sorts of infrastructure do you have that other cities like a Frankfort might not, that you could go to a site selector or you could go to a potential business investor and go, look, this is something you can get in Crawfordsville that you can't get somewhere else?
Right. Well, us in Frankfort are very similar on the electric rates because we're both input communities. So that a lot of times is our big strength because we can offer electric rates that are much lower than what you will see in some of the other providers around the state. So that typically is a strong card. That wouldn't work necessarily between us and Frankfort because we're both member communities of IMPA. But a lot of times we play that card. Another very unique thing for us is our fiber network, and this hasn't been a big part of it in the past. But I think we're moving that direction, and we're going to have an announcement coming up here on October the 3rd that our community is becoming a gig city, so we can offer a gigabit to the end user via a fiber network, and very, very few communities can offer that right now. So we're trying to look out ahead and find things that will make us more competitive in the future on the infrastructure side. That's one of them. Having a local power plant is also something that's very unique for our community because people need that reliability. If they have to shut down production because we lose our feed from the outside world, it can be very costly. And it is very costly for some of our existing industry. So having that reliability here, even though maybe it's not running every day, but if need be, we can get that online and we can keep them going and keep them sustained, is another very powerful tool as well. And our electric utility works very hard to make sure we are rated very highly on the reliability scale. We don't have the power outages that many communities do. So that's there as well. Another area we're thinking ahead is this proposed thermal loop that would come off the power plant. So being able to offer steam and chilled water, which is really a byproduct of the power production process, but offering that as very inexpensive, reliable energy for industry will make us very unique as well. Very few communities our size would be able to offer that. So we're trying to look out ahead and really find some areas that will make us different there.
You mentioned you went down to Indy to talk with these site selection firms, and that those sorts of personal relationships, I can't help but think, will make a difference from one community getting investment versus another. And that's something also that Mayor McBarnes told me. He said, look, I've got relationships within the Indiana Economic Development Corporation, and it's his belief anyway that IEDC officials are steering potential business investors to Frankfort because of those sorts of personal relationships. So how do you go about determining whether you've got those, whether people will act on your behalf, whether it's the IEDC or the Indiana Chamber or anybody like that who will have these business contacts who say, hey, I have these millions of dollars I want to put in some Indiana city. Tell me which one I should go to.
It's really all about establishing good, solid relationships and introducing yourself to these people and getting to know these people and really instilling in them an understanding or belief of what you have going on in your community. And I jump at any opportunity I get to go in there and sell my community. And I know every mayor does. So, they just have to have confidence that if they're steering somebody my way, they're not wasting that person's time, that we really do have our act together here and we really do have a lot of potential for things to happen and would be a good fit for them. So, it's about establishing those relationships, and Mayor McBarnes is exactly right. You have to get out there, and really work that. And it's not something you just do here and there. Any opportunity I get to go to something and be around those connections and make those connections, I'm going to be doing it.
I want to get to a quick email we received. Helen Hudson writes, why is it so vital to keep the Hoosier State Line, and why are you such an enthusiastic supporter of it? And you mentioned earlier that the site selection firm said that rail availability was one of the great things you had. I sort of wonder, just to piggyback off of what Helen asks, is that something you can use to go to the General Assembly when they begin to meet and say, look, these site selectors say it's really important for us to keep having the trains running on time. You should pony up a little bit of money to make sure that Amtrak or Corridor Capital or whoever keeps doing that.
Right. It is important. And we are already starting to kind of work, you know, our legislators to make sure they understand that issue. And, you know, we have two different issues with rail. We have the freight rail, which, you know, is a particular strength in our community, and it's a strength in really a lot of our communities around here. I mean, not all of them, but Lafayette has this strength, and Frankfort certainly has this strength. But we have to make sure we really focus on that passenger side. That's the side that kind of gets pushed away and people kind of forget about. But we have to make sure we focus on that because, again, as I said earlier, we're suffering, you know, by not having these younger professionals in our community. And if you ask them what they want, and you list the top, you know, 20 things that they want in a community, public transportation and accessibility to public transportation is going to be on that list almost every time. So we really need to make sure we get that in place. And I push so hard on the Hoosier Estate because it's not something that we can say, well, you know, now's not a good time or now's not a good a fit, and so we'll just kind of let it go away. And then maybe, you know, when the timing is right, we'll bring it back. I understand that once it goes away, you're really not going to bring it back. And other communities in Indiana have found that out the hard way. I'm thinking primarily of Fort Wayne that lost their service and has tried desperately to get passenger rail back. And despite building a new station and everything else, does not have passenger rail. So I fight very aggressively to make sure we keep it. Because once we lose it, I just don't think we'll be very hard-pressed to get it back. So it's very important to us. It's very important to the future. People tend to confuse Amtrak and passenger rail, and they're two separate, distinct issues to me. If you're an Amtrak critic, if they're, you know, you want to criticize their business model and the way they operate, so be it. But I think we all agree that passenger rail in and of itself is really something we need to focus on for the future of our country.
All right. And Mr. Mayor, thanks for that. We've run out of time, but we look forward to talking to you again next month.
Okay. Thank you.
This has been Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Have a nice rest of your day.